This is Unleashing Leadership, and I'm your host, Travis Moss, and welcome back to our team interview where we are talking about our Just Cause project with our friends Kayla and Kirsten. And we are coming near an end. Two episodes left in this interview for this season. And we left off with a discussion about trust and vulnerability. Today, we're going to talk about how it takes a village to raise a child. And we're going to jump in with a very, very powerful discussion with Kirsten as she shares her thoughts with us on leaders with egos.
So, Travis, one more thing I wanted to add about that was that when you have an organization, though, that has a leader that has a very large ego and they set a goal, when I say air times water equals sand, it just means that they're just going to posture and say, I want to make this, right? Or I want to do this. There's never a roadmap behind it because, number one, the ego isn't going to allow team members to step up and do what they're capable of to help meet that goal. Or there's really no vision behind it. It's just an empty goal, right? It's their goal. It's not the goal of an organization. And that's where I think that this whole project has been really, I think about it frequently throughout my day, applying it to different things that I'm doing. Or, you know, I get an idea and I think, oh, that's about this. And it's just, it's a big project, but it would not work if you didn't have full engagement. And you didn't have someone that was, a leader that believed that in change and that it was going to take, you know, take a village to raise a child. It's going to take a team to get to the just cause and to make this work. So I really think that you have to be in a place where you have a lot of buy-in from a lot of different people that are all going to be working in the same direction for that goal together.
We had one of the people in our group originally had just posed the question. I think it was more food for thought was, well, should we help every individual kind of come up with their own just cause? And you just made a comment about it takes a village to raise a child. To pursue a just cause is exhausting. I think it gives you energy when other people are doing it with you. Right? Like the excitement, the energy, the passion, the fuel, I think is going to come from the fact that other people see that and say, you know, that's really worth something. That's going to make a difference. Because the just cause there has to be a receiver, right? Like one of the principles is there's givers and receivers. And so it has to, by its very nature, incorporate other people. And if we can't incorporate other people in what we're trying to do, then we're really probably just being egotistical or selfish people, you know, and that's, I think, that maybe the bigger point there. And one of the things that I like about the fact that, you know, just, and maybe it's just kind of the way that I see the world is, again, when you have two people that have a lot of passion for something and they're working together, you get a lot of energy off of that. You can feel that when you walk into an office where there's people that are working together that are really enjoying what they're doing and they're working well together and they're focused on the mission. Like if you've ever walked in a room and that's going on, it almost feels weird. You're like, what is going on in here? Right? Like, you know, and if you're a pessimist and you walk into that, you're like, ew, what's all this happiness? Blah. You know, it's like you're the Grinch, right? It's like you have a Grinch moment. But you feel it as soon as you walk into the room when people are getting that electric charge. And those people, when they get, first of all, they get in trouble by their spouses all the time because they're always going home late. And the reason they're always going home late is because they're forgetting what time it is because they're having fun doing what they're doing. They're not going home exhausted and angry. They're going home fun and excited. And, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I wish you knew what we did today. You know what I mean? And you're trying to fill them in and they're just like, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. I go to work and my work sucks. Right. And it's like, but honey, that's just because the culture's bad. No, we have good, you know, you get into the whole culture conversation and everything, but still it's like, I'm off on a tangent and I completely forgot where I'm going with this. But it's, you know it when you walk in, you know, just like when you walk into a bad atmosphere, when you walk into a place where people don't care about the end result, they don't care about where they're going. They don't care about, they don't like each other. They're creepy. It's a creep. Those are creepy places to be. You walk in and it's almost like the lights are a little gray. You just know you're in a icky place, you know? And Kirsten, Kayla, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for Kirsten and I. We've both worked in places like that where, you know, it's like your superpower is how many times you got divorced or, you know, how much you can drink on the weekends or how many strip clubs you can go to. You know, it's that's the superpower. That's the what you're idolizing, you know, and some, I mean, they might dress it up a little bit, but that's essentially what you're idolizing in some of those scenarios. And it's just, to what end? You know, it's that's toxic culture and ethical fading and all that kind of stuff. But you feel it. You can feel that type of cult. When you walk in a room, you can feel that type of energy.
You can feel it even if you're not someone that works there. That was actually you know, 6 years later, still one of my very first experiences walking into our office in the Binghamton office was I looked at the pictures and I knew instantly. And I've always said, you could tell the values that that staff here have. And I wasn't an employee. I could have just become a future client. And, you know, to your point, client and employee, you're kind of the same. And, you know, that was, you knew, like, just there was a sense of it and a sense of the conversation, a sense of just what you saw, like when you walked through the offices, that the culture was different. The values were different. It wasn't about how many people are divorced or, you know, going out to parties all night long or things like that. And stuff that, you know, having had experiences in those cultures, it leads to toxicity and just like a cancer in an organization. And not what, you know, when you don't stand for those things, it's not what you want. And so even when people are not intentionally thinking, like you think your culture and your values and what your organization is isolated to you and your employees, it isn't, because people observe it and you can observe it so fast and you sense it and you feel it. So when you walk into a negative area or something that's so toxic, you can tell immediately.